Welcome. This is going to be a series. The overtitle will be Apostolic Churches. I would suggest listening to Unroll the Scroll in Prophecy Audio as an introduction to this, just to get a spiritual cornerstone. Unroll the Scroll opens up who the Word of God is in the heavenly realm and the earthly realm, God's Son, the Word made flesh. And then the second phase of that is how we become living epistles of God's Word in our lives. That is an introduction to this teaching series called Apostolic Churches. Let's have a look at Matthew 10:4. I'm sorry, Matthew 10:2-4. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These are the 12 apostles, the Lord's intimate group. The apostles are one who are sent forward. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, and so on. Now, Simon called Peter in John 1:42. When Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. In this particular passage, it does not say that Peter is the rock upon which Jesus builds the church. Jesus is the cornerstone and the rock upon which the church is built. The 12 tribes of Jacob, of Israel, the 12 sons, those are the 12 Old Testament foundations, and the 12 apostles of the New Testament are the New Testament foundation, which is probably the composition of the 24 elders before the Lamb's throne in heaven. Simon, son of Joseph, had all kinds of character issues. He was carnal and full of fear. He denied the Lord. He wanted to help Jesus establish his kingdom now. He got upset. He was going to defend Jesus when he was being betrayed in the garden. He cut off the servant's ear. He was a very volatile, emotional person until the Lord filled him with the Holy Spirit during Pentecost. I perhaps think that's why the Lord called him Cephas, which is translated as stone, that he would become more stable and solid and not so blown by the winds. There's Simon the Canaanite, Thomas, James the son of Zebedee, and John the son of Zebedee, Matthew, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and Philip. In John 1:43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Philip. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Philip said to Nathanael, basically, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." This is a huge declaration of Jesus fulfilling the prophecies of the Torah. We have Bartholomew, Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot after he betrayed Jesus. This is in Acts chapter 1. James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebbaeus, Thaddeus. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. There are certain church denominations that we know that say that Peter, who went to Rome, and so did Paul. And we were going to look at where these apostles went and the churches that they established in this study as the foundation. We will go to some early church texts. Of course, the book of Acts talks about, in a great part, about Luke and Paul's journeys and establishing the churches in the eastern section of the Mediterranean to Rome. And we will look at some of the scriptures that look at what they did, what the acts of the Holy Spirit did through these men as they laid the foundations for the eternal church, the eternal foundations written in the blood of the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the earth, who redeemed out of every tribe and nation and tongue a holy priesthood. Now, when you're going to build a foundation, you start by digging out the foundation for a house, the temple building. You dig out and you have a base, and you measure it with a plumb line and a level, and you set in a cornerstone. And the rest of this corner, all the rest of the foundation, the stones that you lay, line up according to the plumb line and the ley line with the cornerstone. This holy temple, which Jesus implied was him when he said to the Pharisees, "And destroy this temple, and in three days I shall raise it up again," he was referring to himself, that he was the temple and he would raise himself up. Now let's look at Jesus, the cornerstone, and establish that, and then we will lay out the ministries of the apostles and how they set the church over the earth, shook the earth. In Psalm 118:1, it says, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Isaiah 28:6, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Matthew 22:1-23, Jesus said to them, Matthew 21:2, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, that would be the Levitical priesthood at that time, has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And Mark 12:10, "Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And again in Luke 20:17, "Then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him into powder." Now let's look at Ephesians 2:8, because we're going to build the foundations of the faith in the temple according to the apostolic doctrine. What is the apostolic doctrine? Well, we'll look at that. But Ephesians 2:18 says, "For it through him," that is Yeshua, Jesus, "we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay? The prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles, the one that Jesus chose and sent, the 12 that I identified. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Know you not that you are the temple of God? Now look in Acts 4:10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other man who died and was raised from the dead, signifying that he had the power to lay down his life and pick it up. He has the power to raise the dead. He has the power to quicken us, not only our mortal bodies, but our dead spirits, and make us alive. And we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to him as Yeshua, as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the words, to the word to which they were also appointed. In the introductory section of Unroll the Scroll, the word is Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. And on this, on the teachings and the sayings of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the foundations of the faith. It's the foundation of the principles of his kingdom. Let's look at this in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. These are foundational principles, elementary principles of Christ. Who Jesus is, what he came to do, what his purpose in his mission, what he was sent. Foundation, repentance from dead works is the first one. Faith towards God. The doctrine of baptisms, plural. The laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. And of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It also is looped into this. Is a conviction of sin, righteousness, and the coming judgment. To bring repentance, okay, the eternal judgment, and this need for cleansing, a savior. These are the elementary principles of Christ. The foundation of the body of Christ are adhering to the principles that Jesus Christ taught. This is our guideline. These are our lay and our plumb lines. Then we measure any ministry up with, are they applying? Are they being conformed and transformed? Do they teach Jesus? All right. The early church in Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Now, one of my purposes, I feel compelled to address this subject, is how many churches do we have? How many denominations? Who's preaching? Who's teaching what? Who's right? Who's wrong? St. Augustine said something interesting. He said, "In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, in everything, charity. We must be marked by love and pray that people are in their different position." But let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'Well, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through foolishness of the message preached to those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." This is the basis of the gospel, okay? Christ crucified. This is the message. "To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" So salvation, this is it. We preach Christ crucified. And the basis of the gospel is Christ crucified. And this is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. This is the covenant from the foundation of the earth, and this is what is in heaven. In the midst of the throne, I saw one as a lamb that was slaughtered, slain. So all these divisions in the church, well, Peter, you know, the Pope is the, you know, Jesus said his church was going to be built on Peter. No, he didn't. He said he called Peter a rock. He didn't say the church was going to be built on him. It says that the church was laid from on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and the foundation. So it all goes back to Jesus Christ. And we weren't baptized in Peter's, you know, Apollos or whomever. We were baptized in Christ. We are Christ. And we need to line up and measure up and become conformed and transformed into the image of his spirit and be one with him. So we recognize those who are his and those who are not. Now, I'd like to go on and just put a little qualifier, a few qualifiers scripturally on what that means, those who are his. What is salvation? Those who are saved, who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Acts 15:18, known to God from eternity are all of his works. In other words, God knows everything. Past, present, beginning, end. He knows all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Okay, wow. Moses has been preached in every city and is read in every synagogue on the Sabbath. So who are those? A definite distinction is made that we don't trouble those among the Gentiles. The bottom line requirements are not circumcision of the covenant or this or that. And, of course, Romans is a whole, addressing the law versus faith and the spirit of faith. And Paul said, pray for me, having started out in the spirit, I don't end up in the flesh or back under the law. I count all those things dung. I was this, a Pharisee of Pharisees. I studied under Gamaliel. I was the tribe of Benjamin. He's listing all his Jewish credentials. And he says, I count it all dung compared to the excellence knowledge of Jesus Christ. But here in this particular scripture, we're talking about worship. And let me break it down. When Jesus said in John 4:9 to the Samaritan woman, she says, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Your fathers worshiped on this mountain, Samaria, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. She was talking the temples and the ordaining under Moses, the old covenant, the instructions of the Lord. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, that was in Samaria, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Okay, it was not revealed in the old covenant who they were worshiping. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Okay? The old mountains, the old this, the old regulations, all of that. And Hebrews clearly teaches this. Will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Mashiach is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Yeshua said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is his declaration to this one. What does this have to do about the Gentiles who are turning to God? Okay, up here in salvation, Acts 15:18, how do we recognize the Gentiles? Okay, are they supposed to come under the Mosaic law and all of that? No, we're talking worship in spirit and truth. So why does he give some regulations that look like they're under the Levitical kosher laws? We write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled and from blood. Because I want to submit to you, after studying many years, paganism, pagan altars, the corruption of the Hebrews and how they were corrupted, and the teachings of Scripture, that these things that the apostles talking about here are worship. They are worship. Things polluted by idols. In other words, things offered to idols as a sacrifice, from sexual immorality, because sexual immorality means you become one with another person, and you impart, the demons are imparted. When your flesh becomes one, that other vessel has demonic spirits that they will impart to you, and you, it's a form of worship, satanic worship, sexual immorality. Things strangled, that was part of the way of offering sacrifices, and from blood, because there were blood altars. You know, you see a lot in films and so on. It's sort of the you know, cultural rage, vampirism and Nephilim movies and all this. But vampirism is just a form of worshiping the dead or worshiping idols. These people are the walking dead. But we who crucify our flesh and walk in the spirit, we are the walking dead, and they drink blood. Vampires, but we eat and drink of the body and blood of Yeshua. It is a different altar. This, to me, in my heart, after many, many years of mulling over this, the basic requirements to understand who is a Christian and who is not is, who do you worship? In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. I would like to now, I just want to lay these foundations. I think these are very important before I progress about what kind, what happened to the apostles, because there are so many divisions and so many things called Christianity and so many labels that people say, well, I'm a Christian, and they're not. There are qualifiers. Now, this is for babies, the beginning of worship, and then, as it says in Hebrews and in that chapter 6, look, he says, and the Lord willing, he says, after we discuss the elementary principles and understand, we will go on to perfection if we will, and this we will if God permits, Hebrews 6, 1. So, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept, statute upon statute, here a little, there a little. And it is the Lord and our surrendered obedience to Him that increases our revelation of who He is. Let's go and look in some of the ancient historical books what happened to the apostles. I want to start with the famous Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. And we will read chapter 1, the early Christians, in the next section.